My name is Francisco Furman, and wow, I am nervous. Okay, hold on. My name is Francisco Furman. I'm very humbled and blessed to be up here to share with you tonight. I'm here with my family, my wife, and my kids, and my sister, brother-in-law, mother. My kids go to this school, Olivia and Francisco. This has been an interesting road for me. We followed basically our kids. We brought them here. They were having a very tough time in the public school system in Plantation. And we came, and thanks to a friend of Jackie's and mine, the Newtons, I don't know if they're here tonight, they told us to come on over, check the school out, talk to Reuben. So we did, and we liked everything, immediately enrolled the kids, and immediately started coming. And Jackie and I had been searching for a church for a while, and immediately just felt and noticed a difference in the body of the church, and most of all in pastor. Pastor could really hook you with a left hook with these lessons and these sermons that he gives you. And that's how, you know, my road just really began and started narrowing down and getting more serious, and I started becoming more aware and understanding more. And then Hugh Black got a hold of me and started going to those classes. And November 16th. I called him at like 10:30 at night. I probably scared him to death. I was in a hotel. I was traveling a lot at that time, and I was in a hotel in Orlando, and I was just finished reading Peter, 1 Peter, and the Holy Spirit just got a hold of me, and I called him and told him I accepted Jesus right there at that spot. And shortly thereafter, end of January of 18, I stepped into that big blue tub behind me, and I was saved. So how I came to be up here, that's a little bit twisting. I think they were ganging up on me shortly, right? Hugh Black and Reuben led me to the Lord. I thank Reuben as well. And then the two of them began plotting. First thing was, hey, why don't you go on this marriage retreat? And I remember meeting Ricardo for the first time there. And then the next thing was, hey, why don't you do this marriage class? Then they threw me with Joey, fabricating lights and putting lights up and parking people and stopping arguments and all that stuff in the parking lot. And then they said, hey, we need a translator. So I started translating. And then they went for backup at that point. And they got Turner and Simeon. And they said, they asked, you know, if we do a volleyball camp. So we did a volleyball camp with the girls. And then Simeon came and said, we want you to do the youth ministry. So then I started doing the youth ministry. And now I'm up here. And I'm supposed to give you 30 minutes. I got to watch that clock. You're lucky if you're going to get 15. But all joking aside, chronologically, that's pretty much the way it's gone, you know, for me and my family. And I'm here to tell you that if you would have asked me, you know, to do any of this 3 years ago, it would have been a big fat no, like immediately, without hesitation. But I'm humbled through this journey. And I'm just going to continue to simply stay out of the Lord's way so that he can have his way. That's basically what I'm doing and what I'm sticking to. So tonight, if you could please, I'm going to ask you to turn to three places in the Bible. So go first to Proverbs 7:10. Okay? And just stick something there and hold that place. And then go to 2 Samuel 13:3. And hold that place, please. And then finally, go to Genesis 3:1. Okay. Okay. So, if I give you the word subtle, what comes to mind? Generally, you're gonna get kind of like a negative connotation with that word, right? It's kind of forewarning. You're not exactly sure, but you're gonna proceed with caution, right? So, Noah Webster defines that word with a few different phrases. Mentally keen, delicately skillful, crafty of mind, or indirect or insinuated. So all these kind of leave you with a negative connotation, right? You're going to proceed with caution. Something's going on there you're not sure of yet. You got to dig a little deeper or hold back or think about it a little more. So the title of my message tonight is Be Mindful of the Subtleties of Life. Okay? Let us turn to Genesis 3:1. And we'll start there. And I'll read. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord hath made. And he said unto the woman, Ye hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So when I first read that, and I'm gonna refer back to my old Bible, some of you who would see me sitting over here under my flag over there, I used to have a pink Bible, and there's a reason for that. But, and that Bible was the time, and I'll just be honest with you, where I was literally at war with myself and even with God. And I would question, and I would write these notes, and I would write all these comments in this Bible. In that Bible, when I read this verse, the first thing that jumped out at me was serpent. Why a serpent? Why not a monkey or a hippo or something else? Why the serpent? As I continued along my journey with you know the help of Hugh and Ricardo and a lot of the guy and Ruben and most of the guys here, And I deepened my understanding. I reread this section after, most of you remember, Pastor completed that lesson in Revelations, right? And in rereading, what stood out at me was the word subtle. I just blew past serpent, didn't even care whether it was a serpent or a monkey or whatever it was. And what hit me then was the word subtle. And so I immediately wondered, why subtle? This is cautionary. This is bad. This is forewarning. Are there any other sections in the Bible where we find that same word? And is it negative? Is it evil? Is it forewarning of something to come? So let's go to Proverbs 7:10. Give me a minute. I got to get there myself. Okay. In Proverbs 7:10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle of heart. Okay. As we continue to read that section all the way to the end, you will definitely see that it is forewarning. Okay? There's something there that you must understand, you must learn, you must stay away from. Right? Protect yourself. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 13:3, I believe it was. Yes, 13:3. Okay, in 2 Samuel 13:3, we read, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Again, you continue to read through chapter 13, and you read a very difficult story with a lot of things going on, different depths of evil and bad things. So, subtle. It's definitely something forewarning. It's definitely something we must be aware of. It's a characteristic we should protect ourselves from. So what transpired in Genesis 3:1? We know from the teachings of Pastor and our own understanding and reading that what we're reading there is the fall of man. Right? She is confronted by Satan. He capitalizes on her lack of understanding, her lack of knowledge, her temptation. He tempts her, and she falls, and so does Adam. So why did that happen? That's kind of the way my thought went. I progressed to try to understand. The first thing we note is that she added to his word. And Pastor warns us all the time, this is the exact word of God. You're not to add from it to it. You're not to take away from it. So if we read back in Genesis 2:17, just one chapter back, 2:17, it says clearly, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. As you read in Genesis 3, it says nothing about touching it. So she adds to the word. And I think that in adding to the word, Satan realizes her weakness. She's unsure of the word of God. And so he capitalizes on that moment. And what he does, what he proceeds to do next is tempt her until she falls. In Genesis 3:6, you clearly see he tempts her in the flesh. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for the food, that's tempting her in the flesh. He He tempts her through the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. So she's tempted through her eyes. And finally, he captures her pride. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. We see something very similar to this when the Lord was tempted, right? We read in Matthew how the Lord went alone to the woods and was tempted by the devil, by Satan. And Satan approached him and tempted him the same exact way. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride. Now we know the Lord is, Jesus was powerful with the Lord, understood through and through what was happening, and was able to respond. Immediately respond without hesitation. So what I came to understand here is that this is, in my mind, literally a war. We can't be fooled. Satan is after our soul. It's principalities and rulers of the darkness that we stand against. So how do we know what to do in these situations? What should we do? How do we prepare ourselves? How do we face these subtleties? So my aim here tonight is to leave you with three truths for us to employ as we continue along this journey of biblical understanding and spiritual awareness. To get to the point of the absolute acceptance that with our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the kingdom of God is ours. And no subtlety can get anywhere near us. So the first truth is, to prepare ourselves, is to wear the armor of God. Right? We've all heard this before. Pastor has preached on this. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, we read and we understand the armor of God. His power, that's the very first thing we need to understand. He is the power. He is the mighty one. The second thing it talks about is his armor, right? Wearing his shield and his breastplate and the helmet. And the third thing is that he is our resource. It clearly explains that he is our resource through with all prayer and supplication, right? He is the endless supply that we must tap into and feed from. So we're encouraged and told time and time again to prepare, to wear the armor of Christ. But until we make this a part of our daily life, a part of our identity, and it becomes who we are, we leave ourselves open to attack. So in practical terms, how do we succeed in wearing this armor of light, of the armor of God? And what I've come to understand at this point is two simple things. Spend time in the Word daily. Spend time in the Word. Develop your understanding. As I said in the beginning, when I first read Genesis 3:1, what stood out at me was the serpent. I was reading it kind of like I read my college literature books and was just reading through it. But convicted, I came back and I really read deeper. And when that word subtle jumped out at me, I thought, where else do we find this? Is it forewarning? Is it something for us to be cautious about? I went to the dictionary. I looked at different resources. Right? So spend time in the Word and understand the Word. The second thing that I've come to understand is what I called blocking out the noise. Right? And what I mean by that is turn off your cell phone. Turn off the TV. Okay? I forgot who said, maybe Pastor or Reuben said at one time that don't do your morning prayer in the car on the way to work. Too much distraction. Seek solitude. An example of this that I'm thinking of is Saul, right? Let's remember Saul. Convicted by the Holy Spirit on his road, he becomes Paul. And Paul went on to write 14 books or 14 letters. The majority of those letters were written in solitude, in confinement, in prison. I think it was 8 of them or 9 of them. He was in prison. And I kind of picture in my mind him sitting there, knowing what's going on outside of those walls, knowing how Satan is attacking subtly the different churches that he's established. And he just digs into the Word. And he continues to write. He continues to wear the armor and draw from the resource, from the Word. The second truth that I want to talk to you about is the practical application of the Word in our daily life. And for that, I went to Matthew 4:3-10. I mentioned this before. When our Lord was tempted in similar ways in the wilderness. That is an example, a very black and white example of how our Lord Jesus Christ, in that moment of temptation, put the practical application of the Word, or put the Word into practice at that moment and responded to Satan. We see it again in James 1:22-23. By ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Right? So we must be doers of the word, not just hearers. So that leads you to a point where you're thinking with purpose, and you're speaking with purpose, and you're acting with purpose. The third truth is what I've called the physical manifestation of the Word. And that we see in John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus lived among us. Jesus is with us now. He will always be. We see it again in 1 Corinthians. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If two or more are gathered, he is there. We must understand that. And finally, in Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come from heaven. So we understand, simply put, that to have a complete faith that he was born of a virgin, that he died sinless, and he was raised again for one purpose, for you and for me, to erase the events of Genesis 3. His journey on this earth was an example left for us. An example for us to follow. An understanding for us to have. So we can enter the kingdom of God. So we must believe that he has always been and will always be. And he's here with us. In conclusion, I want to pray for all of us in this room that we can continue to grow within the body of this church, that we firstly wear the armor of God, that we embrace the practical application of the word in our daily life, practice it, put it to practice. And that the word, and lastly, that we never fall short in recognizing the physical manifestation of the word when it is upon us.